Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the program today, the question is, what is Higgs boson? We'll answer that with Professor Wade Fisher. He's with the Department of Physics and Astronomy at Michigan State University. Plus on the Power Pundit panel today, Aaron Johnson, Stacy Woodbury, and Amber Joyner. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Tahoe-Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park. The Retail Association of Nevada, strengthening the business environment for Nevada retailers. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. And the Las Vegas Review-Journal and ReviewJournal.com.
The plan would end Medicare as we know it.
Repeals Medicare.
And that's the same plan Dean Heller voted for twice. But it gets worse. On July 25th, Heller voted to give another $160,000 tax break to millionaires. Minutes later, he voted against a tax cut for the rest of us, the middle class. Two votes against Medicare, two votes against the middle class. Dean Heller just keeps getting it wrong. Patriot Majority USA is responsible for the content of this advertising.
Hello, I'm Lance Gilman. Welcome to the Tahoe-Reno Industrial Center. The Tahoe-Reno Industrial Center, building economic prosperity for Nevada. We are TRI.
Press on, Southern Nevada. It's a new beginning. Information the way you need it. We are fighting for you every day to make your life better. The facts. So you can succeed. So you can plan. So you can dream. And always remember, press on.
This segment is brought to you by Hutchison & Stephan, a full-services law firm with services such as business and commercial litigation, government relations, and election law. More information at hutchlegal.com. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we are very pleased to welcome to the program Wade Fisher. He is a Michigan State University Assistant Professor of Physics and Astronomy and has been actively involved in the Higgs boson research, coordinating research teams at the Department of Energy's Fermi National Accelerator Laboratory near Chicago. Pleasure to have you on the program, sir. We're delighted to have you here. Like a lot of other people, I was stunned several weeks ago now to hear people referring to the God particle, which is how Higgs boson is referred to. In reading tremendous amounts of stuff about this, I find this topic very confusing. So you are here to make this simple for the average person. What is exactly Higgs boson?
Right, absolutely. It is something that's pretty complex. It's actually taken us on the order of 50 years to really figure out what it is that we're looking for.
50 years.
And actually get to the point where we can find something.
So you said 50 years, correct?
50 years, 50. Yeah, in 1964, there was three seminal papers that came out that predicted that we needed a new particle to make our theories work. The way that we do business in high-energy physics or particle physics, which is what I do, is we put together theories that describe the universe, and we can take the observations that we have both from just looking into the sky and seeing what's out there, but also by looking at what's within matter that we have here on Earth. You know, we can look and understand that we have atoms, and atoms are made out of, you know, a nucleus surrounded by electrons. We can go deeper into that structure and try and understand what's really there. So our theories try to describe how those particles interact. And it turns out that the really successful theories that we have a major flaw, that they just don't describe mass. And mass is something that, you know, it just seems obvious. We all have mass. We are sensitive to this because we're sitting, you know, in a gravitational field of the Earth, and it gives us what we perceive as our weight. Now, when you get down to the fundamental aspects of the theory, there's not a good way of explaining why that comes to be the way that it is. And the way that we think that it needs to arise that way is essentially evidenced by this particle, the Higgs boson.
All right, so part of this is using these colliders. Explain exactly what this Swiss collider does.
Right. So there's two major colliders in the world today. One of them we just shut down in September of last year, and that was the Fermilab Tevatron Particle Collider. And the new one, the one that is superseding that one, is the Large Hadron Collider just outside of Geneva, Switzerland. So the idea here is that we take particles, and in this case it's protons and antiprotons, or protons and protons at the LHC, and we accelerate them up to very high speeds, almost to the speed of light, and then we collide them together. Now, the purpose of doing that is that we want to try to get very high-energy collisions amongst the constituent particles of the proton and antiproton, or the proton and the proton. And what's happening there is that we're reproducing conditions in the very early universe. So if we put enough energy into these collisions, what we can do is turn back the clock earlier and earlier into the universe of evolution and see what was happening back then. And what's interesting about what's happening earlier in the universe is that the universe was a hotter place. So there's more energy floating around. There was particles interacting at higher energies. And we just had stuff being produced that we don't have in today's colder universe. And that's basically what we're trying to do with those colliders.
Okay, and how are you able to measure things? I mean, obviously the technology has changed in the last 20 years. To what degree are you able to actually observe what's going on with these incredible collisions?
Yeah, actually, it turns out that a lot of the techniques that we use haven't, you know, changed that much over the years. You know, particles interact in fundamental ways. And what we do is we bring the collisions together, and around that collision area, we build massive detectors. And these detectors are a lot like just the camera that you have, the digital camera that takes photons in and turns those photons into an image. So what we do is we look at everything that's coming out of this collision. It could be, you know, fundamental particles that are new, or it could be things that we already know about, and we take a picture. But we take that picture at a rate of about 44 megahertz. So it's extremely fast, and we're recording that over and over and over again. Each of those pictures that we take, we can go back and look at what came out of that, the data that came out, and we can reconstruct what we think happened. And then what happens is, over time, we can build up a catalog of what we think has been produced. And then we start looking for very rare things. So if we have billions and billions of these collisions, and we get a handful of a few hundred interesting events that might be something new, then we can start to say, you know, with some certainty that we've really, you know, discovered something that we didn't think should be there before. And that's exactly what happened with the search for the Higgs boson. As we sat there and we collected collisions over and over again and analyzed them until we found something that just could not be explained without the presence of something new.
And how do you describe that? And why is it referred to as the God particle?
Well, the reference to this as the God particle came out of a book that was written by a Nobel Prize winner named Leon Lederman. And he was probably one of the better salesmen we've had around, but it turns out that his publisher was an even better salesman and sort of amped up the title of the book to be the God particle, which turns out turns a lot of heads and sells a lot of books. We don't use that terminology in physics very often, you know, mostly because it just doesn't have a place, but it also tends to offend some people. But the way that the Higgs boson works, the way we believe that it works, is that our universe is filled with a quantum field that we call the Higgs field. Now, this field, the way that it works is that it interacts with particles the way that you might feel an interaction with wading through a swimming pool. So if you're walking through a swimming pool with no water in it, there's no resistance to your motion. You just walk right through. But if you put water into that pool, and the water plays the role of the Higgs field here, then you feel yourself slowing down. Now, that inertia that you're picking up by walking through this swimming pool with water in it, that's the quantity that we associate with mass. There are different particles that have, different interactions with that swimming pool. You know, big people might have a different interaction than, some very small people. So that difference between, a big person and a small person gives you an indication of, how much mass they might have with this interaction with that water. So the way that we view this is that our universe just is filled with this Higgs field, and if we cite that field, we can see it in the form of a particle, the Higgs boson. And that's what we're doing at the Large Hadron Collider.
All right, so bottom line, what does this mean?
Well, this means two things. First, it means that the theory that predicted this had some validity. We don't know that it's absolutely 100% true, but it means that we're on the right track to understanding how this physics works in the universe. Now, the other thing, though, it means that that there's something going on that we don't quite understand, because it turns out that if you look at the theory by itself and just say we only have a Higgs boson, the one that we found at the mass that we found, then everything really kind of falls apart when you go to very high energies. So that means that there's something out there that we haven't seen yet. So really it's laying out the next few decades of our work, saying we need to really understand what's going on with this particle, how it interacts, how it couples to other particles, and what we learn from that type of measurement is what else might be out there. And at the same time, of course, we're going to be doing more searches, but really now it's really opened the door to some interesting new things.
But it's fascinating that you're dealing with a science here that you've already spent 50 years working on this, not you personally, but scientists have, and now you're talking that over the next several decades we may learn more.
Absolutely, and that's one of the beautiful things about physics, is that every time that we come up with something new that we discover, it answers maybe one or two questions, but it introduces hundreds of new questions that we just hadn't thought about before.
All right, let's take a break. More with Wade Fisher when we come back.
The plan would end Medicare as we know it.
Repeals Medicare.
And that's the same plan Dean Heller voted for twice, but it gets worse. On July 25th, Heller voted to give another $160,000 tax break to millionaires. Minutes later, he voted against a tax cut for the rest of us, the middle class. Two votes against Medicare, two votes against the middle class. Dean Heller just keeps getting it wrong. Patriot Majority USA is responsible for the content of this advertising.
The Tamarack Junction Steakhouse and Lounge is South Reno's new hotspot to meet friends and relax in our lounge. Sip handcrafted cocktails, chilled martinis, and world-class wines. Dine on sizzling signature fillets, ribeyes, and prime New York steaks. Fresh seafood and homemade desserts. North of the Summit Mall on South Virginia, the Tamarack Junction Steakhouse and Lounge.
When it comes to delivering energy, a lot happens behind the scenes. NV Energy generates thousands of megawatts of energy and moves it along miles and miles of transmission and distribution lines to Nevada homes and businesses. So when you flip a switch or push a button, there are no surprises.
Shelley Berkley, under investigation for abusing her office. And the industry Berkley did favors for is still showering her with cash. It's not surprising. Before she came to Congress, Berkley urged her boss at a Vegas casino to buy off judges and politicians with favors and campaign cash. Wrong then, wrong now. A disturbing pattern of unethical behavior. Shelley Berkley, everything that's wrong with Washington. Crossroads GPS is responsible for the content of this advertising.
This segment is brought to you by Hutchison & Stephan, a full-services law firm with services such as business and commercial litigation, government relations, and election law. More information at hutchlegal.com. And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
I'm back on Nevada Newsmakers. If you're watching this on broadcast TV or online, the photographs you're seeing are from the Hubble Space Telescope, and they're just absolutely gorgeous. And we're continuing our conversation with Wade Fisher, a Michigan State University Assistant Professor of Physics and Astronomy, who's been actively involved in the Higgs boson research. I wanted to just slightly change topics here to talk about the practicality of this. How much money and interest and excitement is being generated in Switzerland because of this discovery, because of this particle accelerator?
Well, certainly there's a lot of interest, and the investments that we've had to put into this are pretty large. You know, in the end, it's been an investment of about $10 billion to put together the Large Hadron Collider. Operating costs are also very high for it, so there's a continuing investment that we have to put together. But this is one of the great successes of the field, that we knew that there was something that we needed to look for, and we invested in it, and it really paid off. One of the advantages of that is that we can still do things with this machine. It's not sort of a one-shot opportunity, and it'll operate for another at least two decades as we go forward.
I guess the reason I bring this up is that it's outside of Geneva. It's not in Texas where it was originally going to be. you know, why are we having so many great American scientists working in Europe as against working in the United States?
Well, you know, it's you know, people say if you build it, they will come, and that's what happened. There's only so many places where we can do this kind of research, and the international community came together at CERN to put the investment in there. Now, the United States did have the opportunities to try and do something like this, but, you know, for different reasons, it didn't happen. Now, the SSC, the Superconducting Supercollider in Texas, that was something that the Congress shut down, and probably with good reason. The technology wasn't there at the time. There was competing demands with the NASA program. So it's not great for our field that happened, but on the other hand, you know, the fact that we can pursue this in Europe is excellent. Now, that does mean that the new discoveries are coming off the American continent over to Europe, and we're not pushing that history of American discoveries at American facilities like we were before, and that's something that really is a loss for us. But we do have plans out there for trying to move forward with new facilities, new particle accelerators, and eventually new discoveries here back in the United States.
Is there any state that's been mentioned so far as potentially being the one that would where this would go?
Well, the Fermilab facility is designed to be an accelerator facility, and that's one place where, in principle, we could put in new colliders in the future. Now, the expense of that will go up, you know, not quite an order of magnitude, but, you know, probably a factor of $4 to $40 billion for the next big accelerator. And so there's discussions about whether this should go, you know, somewhere else in the world. You know, for example, in China, it's much less expensive to do the civil engineering to dig tunnels and things like that. So that might be a place where this kind of project ends up, which is not great for people like me because that's a long way to travel to do my research, especially when, you know, we have first-rate facilities in our backyard. So we're hoping that we can go in the direction of you know, a U.S.-based, you know, accelerator program as we go forward in our futures. And that's just something that hopefully the funding scenarios here as we go forward, you know, with budgeting for the whole country, really is something that we can support.
Last quick question here. Are your students excited about this discovery?
Oh, this is amazing. You know, when you only have so many opportunities to come along and discover something new in your career. You know, and I've been waiting for this 15 years, and I'm young. So these students have been doing this search for just a few years and really came at the right time. This is really great. And it's great for the field because it's bringing in a lot of, you know, interest and young people who are really excited about it.
And it's a career because, as you're saying, it could take decades before the next major discovery like this.
Absolutely.
All right,
absolutely.
And that's where we got to leave it. Dr. Fisher, thank you so much for taking out the time. I think you've cleared this up a little bit for me, and I appreciate that, and continued success with your work. Thank you so much. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
Press on, Southern Nevada. It's a new beginning. Information the way you need it. We are fighting for you every day to make your life better. The facts. So you can succeed. So you can plan. So you can dream. And always remember, press on.
America has suffered 3 years of crushing unemployment. Remember this?
We'll create nearly 500,000 jobs by investing in clean energy.
What really happened? Billions wasted on failed investments. Thousands of Americans lost jobs, while stimulus money went to companies that created jobs overseas. Paid for by the $4 billion Obama's added to our debt every day. Tell President Obama for real job growth, cut the debt. Support the New Majority Agenda at newmajorityagenda.org.
Introducing the new Charter Triple Play. Upgrade your home with TV, internet, and phone, all at an unbelievable price. Charter TV transforms every TV screen in your home with over 100 available HD channels in crystal clear picture and sound and over 10,000 on-demand movies and shows. You can't get that with satellite. Experience TV that goes anywhere you go with TV channel apps for your tablets and smartphones. Call 855-523-PLAY to get Charter TV for $29.99 a month. Upgrade to the nation's most powerful internet. At 30 megabits, it's 5 times faster than AT&T U-verse DSL, with the bandwidth to support more devices than any other internet provider. Experience it all for just $29.99 a month. Get Chartered Phone with unlimited long-distance calling with none of the costly fees like the phone company charges you. Just $29.99 a month. Get the Charter Triple Play, all for just $29.99 a month each when bundled. Call 855-523-PLAY now.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great Power Pundit panel as always. Amber Joyner is here with the Nevada State Medical Association. Arn Johnson is a Republican activist and publisher of arnjohnson.com. And Stacey Woodbury is president of Appearances LLC. Pleasure to have you here all on the program. And, you know, Senator Reid at this clean energy event that occurred last week, pushing NV Energy very hard to put a purchase power agreement in place for ENN, which is a massive project just outside of Laughlin that would provide thousands of construction jobs, thousands of permanent jobs. But NV Energy has already not only met their portfolio standard for renewables, but has actually exceeded it. What are your thoughts on the power of the majority leader and the response that should come from our company?
Well, I don't know if I can comment on his power and his ability to get it done, but I, for one, was happy to see it. I mean, I just remember seeing on the news last night, this is the hottest July on record ever since 1895. Clearly, there's something going on with our climate, and I think focusing on coal is a positive thing to have cleaner energy, of course. And we also know that when you increase the cost of power, people start rationing. And so we've heard a lot about how half of our power is going to be used for air conditioning in the next century across the world. And so, you know, we as humans need to get used to, our house doesn't need to be 72, we can live at 76 or 78. And, you know, I think we will start rationing, I know I will on my bill if it goes up a little bit. So I think it was a positive thing.
She brings up an interesting point as always, which is, you know, are you prepared if your power bill is going to go up because you're paying the higher cost of renewables and solar is the most expensive, you know, are people going to start cutting back?
What happens when government tries to regulate the prices of energy is almost always bad. I'll never forget the summer after 9/11, three times as many people died in Europe in a heat wave than died on 9/11. And they died there because energy prices were so high because of policies exactly like that and for the same reasons, and people couldn't afford their air conditioning. Powerful economies require cheap and plentiful energy. That is an absolute fact. And when Harry Reid, who has, look, I'll even give him the benefit of the doubt on his motivations. But when a government official who doesn't know what he's talking about tries to get in the weeds on managing energy policy and how an energy company is actually producing that energy, it fails time and time again. And we're seeing that particularly now with the Solyndras and all these other renewable energy companies that are failing, that are wasting money, that are going under, and are not providing energy that is plentiful.
All right, but hang on a second. Because this is a Chinese company that has the money. What they need is to have a customer. And the original idea was that they were going to sell to Southern California Edison and get a purchase power agreement from them. All of a sudden, Governor Jerry Brown says that California wants to be a net exporter of renewable energy. Senator Reid says laughable that they'll be able to produce the amount they need, because I think it's like 50% that they're going to have to come up with. But they don't want to buy the energy. But Senator Reid is looking at the jobs and the benefits for Nevada in that area. It's not about money coming from the federal government. The Chinese have plenty of money.
Well, I understand that, but you're still having Jerry Brown screwed it up by trying to manage the energy policy directly as an elected official doesn't know what he's talking about. And now Harry Reid's doing it on the other side. If in fact this is going to provide cheaper, more plentiful energy, we don't need Harry Reid to do it. Let's sell the land rights, get out of the way, let the Chinese company come in and do it.
It's not going to be cheaper, that's for sure.
No, it's not. And I think one of the important things is that solar is one of the highest costs, and a lot of the solar infrastructure, if you do get a loan or something to put it in, by the time you get that paid back, the equipment's beyond its useful life and you have to start replacing it. I think one of the things we should be looking at is for the importance of economic development and stuff, we have to try to keep our energy sources cheaper. But why aren't we going with the geothermal and the wind, which seem to make a lot more sense?
Geothermal is having problems right now.
Well, they are.
So is wind, for that matter.
But how do you...
How
do you get that energy to the power grid? That's what I don't understand, when it's way out in the middle of nowhere.
You have to build transmission lines.
Right.
Right.
So which we've been doing for years, or nuclear. I mean, that's the other part of it, too, is that nuclear is cheap, it's safe, it's effective. We use it worldwide. We stagnated with the technology because people were afraid of the technology, and here we are trying to figure out how we're going to run transmission lines and whether or not we're going to throw tons of money down a solar energy hole or turn food into energy, which also, quite frankly, kills people. It starves people. Our energy policy is an absolute mess because we've run away from clean, effective, safe technologies, and because government has gotten too into the business and too, quite frankly, afraid of things like climate change, which even if they're happening, the government programs that are in place to try to do something about it wouldn't.
No filibustering. Amber, you want to respond to that?
Well, I think there's something wrong with saying, well, the technology is not perfect, so let's not invest in it. I think the only way you improve a technology like solar or like wind is to start focusing on it and say, this is a priority. We aren't going to use coal anymore. And so just to say, well, the technology isn't good enough right now, let's not focus on it, I think is the wrong message. Yes, we need transmission lines, but how do we get those? We start saying, look, we have this wind energy, we have this solar energy, now let's build the lines. That there's no way to improve the technology unless we start saying we want to improve the technology and we want to focus on it.
Okay, Stacey, you get the last word.
I just wonder why Harry Reid's trying to tell Jerry Brown how he conducts his policy.
Because he can. And that's where we leave it. Thank you all very much. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
Car accidents change lives every day. When you've been injured in a serious accident, you need experienced legal help to make sure the insurance company's offer is fair.
Some folks try to settle with insurance companies on their own.
That's why you need experienced, knowledgeable attorneys who will fight for you.
Bob and I used to work for the insurance companies.
We know their tricks.
Call Galloway & Jensen. Over 50 years experience. 333-7555. We fight for you.
President Obama came to the White House with big plans. He'd halve the deficit, strengthen the economy, lower unemployment. What did we get? National debt over $15 trillion and climbing. Unemployment above 8% for 40 straight months. An ongoing economic crisis with no end in sight. He tried. You tried. It's okay to make a change. The Republican National Committee is responsible for the content of this advertising.
Your garage door is the most important door on your home. And now, Thompson Garage Doors has hundreds of beautiful AMR doors on sale. An AMR garage door will add to the curb appeal and value of your home. And a LiftMaster opener will make your garage door quiet and dependable. Hundreds of beautiful AMR garage doors and LiftMaster openers are in stock ready for immediate installation. Hurry, this sale ends soon, so call Thompson Garage Doors today. Local door estimates are free.
Over the years, Class Act has recognized some amazing kids doing wonderful things in our community. Hi, I'm Shelby Sheehan of News 4. If you know a young person who unselfishly gives to others, send us a brief description of their positive contributions. They could be this month's Class Act Award winner. We go to their school where they receive a plaque and a special honor on News 4. News 4's Class Act, a proud partnership with the United Federal Credit Union, Reno Aces Baseball, and Circus Circus.
As always, you can watch Nevada Newsmakers 24 hours a day at NevadaNewsmakers.com. Among the guests next week, Congressman Mark Amadei will be here, Andrew Klinger, the Reno City Manager, and Bob Cashel, the Reno Mayor. And we'll also have Nevada's first woman in Congress, Barbara Vukanovich. We'll see you on the next spot.